I'm Carol Hills and for Marco Werman, and this is The World. What's one way to defuse a crisis? Call in sick. Or maybe that makes it worse. Hard to say in Ukraine, where embattled President Viktor Yanukovych has officially gone on sick leave. Yanukovych has been the target of huge protests for the last couple of months. He angered many Ukrainians by rejecting closer ties with the European Union and choosing instead to maintain closer connections with neighboring Russia. The BBC's David Stern is in Kiev covering the protests. He said Yanukovych's sudden absence has added a new level of uncertainty to the crisis.
All we know is what was written on the presidential website, and that was a very terse statement. Apparently, he has an acute respiratory virus. But beyond that, nothing. And the situation is not any calmer, it must be said. The opposition leaders say they are not leaving the square, and Mr. Yanukovych is nowhere to be found.
Were you out in Independence Square today?
Yes.
And what's the scene like there today?
It is bitterly, bitterly cold. Close to 0 degrees Fahrenheit. In fact, it might even be colder now. But the tent camp that has been there for the last 2 months, that continues, and the protesters are not leaving. And this is still a, I guess you could say, a thorn in the side of the government. The tensions are not diminishing at all, and the standoff continues. We also had a vote in Parliament yesterday where they agreed to extend an amnesty to protesters, but the opposition was not happy with that. They said it imposed conditions on them. They must leave the government buildings that they have occupied, and they must dismantle their barricades, and only then will they be extended this amnesty.
So essentially, if they call off their protests, they get amnesty?
More or less. I mean, it seems that they might be able to stay in the middle of the square. The amnesty law is only good for 15 days. The protesters are allowed to continue with peaceful protests. Another point that is very interesting about this is that the president has gone on sick leave and has not signed this law. And it's not clear if he can sign the law or another law that Parliament passed earlier the week, which repealed a much hated anti-demonstration law, a law that was seen as cracking down on these protests. They repealed that. But he hasn't signed either of those. And now he's taking a break. It's not clear where exactly the demonstrations or, for that matter, what the government's actions will go from here.
Now, Yanukovych is kind of getting it from both sides. Vladimir Putin is putting pressure on him, saying that he's going to delay those big fat loans he'd promised Ukraine after it kind of turned its back on the EU. Where does that leave Yanukovych?
Well, you're right. He's getting pressured. Mr. Putin has said a number of things. He's sending mixed signals, but they seem to be discussing the possibility of delaying these loans. The very discussion is something that will send off alarm bells here in Ukraine, because this money is desperately needed. The economy is in dire straits. They have been on the verge of bankruptcy. They're suffering from a terrible recession. And they had agreed to a $15 billion bailout loan from the Russians. They've gotten $3 billion of that. And now the Russians are saying, well, maybe, just maybe, we might delay that. Whether the Russians do that or not, it remains to be seen. But you can imagine that this is something that is being interpreted as a warning here.
Now, if you go up to a protester on the square in Kiev and you say, what do you want? What would make you end your protests? What is it?
I imagine they would say two things. First of all, we want to live in a normal country. For some, it is just a question of rule of law. Others, it's a question of being able to make a normal living. It's combating corruption. Any number of things, but they say they want a normal country. They are tired of what has been going on in the government. But the other thing that they also say is they want Mr. Yanukovych gone. He's become the symbol of everything that is wrong in Ukraine. And so the protesters, at least the ones on the square, and these are the more hardcore ones, they are the ones who are saying he needs to go and he needs to go now.
The BBC's David Stern in Kiev. There are many factors fueling the unrest in Ukraine. For Boris Gudjak, the key factor is the country's past. Gudjak is a bishop with the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, which is based in Paris. The U.S.-born cleric says the crisis in Ukraine is rooted in its history as a repressed nation.
People in Ukraine have really suffered for many years. If you can imagine a whole country that is in the position of the kidnapped captive people held by Ariel Castro in Cleveland for years, abused, neighbors walking by the house, not really recognizing or noticing what's going on inside. In the 20th century, 17 million Ukrainians were killed in a sundry of ways through world wars, through purges, through the artificial famine that Stalin organized. So there is a profound reflex of fear. The system killed systematically, and so people are afraid of the system. And in
right,
the last...
but those the things you're talking about, they were 20th century issues, which are huge. But how does that relevant to now?
Well, it's as relevant as slavery is for the issue of blacks in the U.S. History really creates and forms the present and the future. So what people are standing up for today is their dignity and their freedom.
What I'm trying to get at is if Yanukovych had not reversed his decision about making a deal with the European Union, would there be no protests on the street, or is there still a restiveness about any links to Russia? That's what I'm trying to tease out here.
There has been years, you know, for people that are today looking at Ukraine, things look surprising. But the rampant corruption, the fact that a mother going to a hospital with a child has to think and ask how much money to whom must I give in a bribe to get my child some medical care? People have had enough of this.
Now, you yourself were born in the U.S. in Syracuse, New York, but you've lived in the Ukraine. I just wonder if is there a particular thing you remember most when you lived in the Ukraine around kind of Ukrainian identity?
Well, Ukrainians are basically pretty peace-loving, singing people. They're quite spiritual. It's a population that is also often carries a certain sadness based on its history. It's been treated as a country, as a geography, but also as an ethnic cultural reality, as something second class. If you ask most people to say something about Ukraine, they don't know. Even if it's geographically the biggest country that is fully within Europe, and it's a country of 45 million people. It has been abused, and that abuse has left scars, both within and regarding its kind of non-entity image. Today, Ukrainians are standing up and saying, we have a dignity. It's a God-given dignity, and we will stand it out because we cannot endure this corruption and this injustice anymore.
What do you think Russia's goals are in Ukraine?
Well, that's a big question. Zbigniew Brzezinski, at the time of the declaration of Ukrainian independence, said that after the defeat of the Nazis, Ukrainian independence is the second biggest event of the 20th century in European history. Why? Because with an independent Ukraine, the Soviet Union or its successor state is no longer an empire, is no longer a superpower. Many exponents of Russian ideology consider that imperial status something to be desired, and hence the views towards Ukraine.
Now, the Russian media is reporting on the crisis in Ukraine as a revolution, and much of the media there are saying Ukraine is on the brink of civil war. Do you have any concern that Russia might intervene directly?
Well, there's been historical precedent. Ukraine has been occupied by Russia for centuries in the past. But I hope that common sense and human values will prevail. I think we are safe until the Olympics, for sure.
Boris Gudziak is bishop for the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church. He's based in Paris. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Carol.